Morning and welcome to God Talk. Among the conversations I had last week was one with a person who asked me point blank, how does God communicate to us? I mean, how do you know that God is actually communicating to you? Because I am one who has been blessed with communications with God. And so in response to that, I want to talk about that this morning, and I'm going to begin with a purported Lily Tomlin quotation. I love this, folks. "Why is it," she asked, "that when we speak to God, we're said to be praying, but when God speaks to us, we're said to be schizophrenic?" Yeah, with so much doubt in this world about whether God exists, for someone to say, "God said something to me," you're going to look at him like, "Okay, have a nice day, far away from me." Now listen to this word of Jesus, kind of as our kickoff, in his farewell discourses, John 13 through 17. This is extraordinarily important and goes under the radar so easily. This is John 16, verses 12 through 15. The words of our Lord. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Wow. How often have you heard that preached about? Let me go back to that very first verse. Verse 12. Imagine for a minute if you are or have been a parent or even a child. We've all been children. Have you ever said to any of your children, or has your parent or have your parents ever said to you, "Someday you'll understand. You can't get it now because you know you're really not ready for it. The readiness is everything," Shakespeare said. "But when the time comes and you're ready, then I will sit down to talk about the birds and the bees," or whatever it is particularly that you're not ready to hear. Lord knows my mother, may she rest in peace. Oh, she would say that so often. "Someday," she would say, you'll understand. "Someday." "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." So this really sets in motion what's been called a progressive revelation, or at least the idea that God continues to speak to us throughout history. Those who maintain that, you know, the first 100 years of the Common Era, whatever came out, that's it. We have to wait until Christ's second coming to get more information, ignores nearly 20 centuries worth of inspiration, men and women who were inspired by God, to whom God spoke, addressed. It's an ongoing reality of God speaking to us. So that's kind of my way in. God has spoken, God still speaks, and God will always speak. Communication with God is more than just possible. It's absolutely essential for your life and for your relationship with God. God wants you to hear and to respond to what you hear. Your life now and forever will be shaped by God's word to you and to us. We just need to learn how to discern and decipher God's addressing us. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Our seeking to understand how God is speaking to us really is a lifelong task. Now, God addresses us through six primary means. Let me just name them and we'll talk about each of them. Through nature, through natural events, through supernatural events, through Scripture, through other persons, and finally, last but certainly not least, through a direct inner witness. Now first, God speaks to us through nature. God is addressing us as our creator in creation itself. Now, I'm old enough to remember before the Big Bang Theory came in physics, it was called the steady state. There was this notion that there was never a beginning, you know? So how can there be a creator who says, let there be, and things kick in? But today, we have what's known, of course, as the Big Bang Theory, that the universe is, whatever, 13.8 billion years old. Something happened, a profound explosion or whatever, and poof, everything came into being. And God reveals something of God's self in nature, just as an artist reveals something of him or herself in a painting. So if you've ever seen an original Van Gogh, as I have at the whatever museum, Chicago Art Institute, for example, it's hard to take. You just get a sense of Van Gogh in the painting. But he's not in the painting, but you get a real clarity as to who he is, or a musician like a composer like Beethoven. God addresses us in creation. It's called general revelation, technically. God's self-language through creation. All of creation is actually God's speech, since what we're taught in Genesis 1 is that God spoke and everything was. So you can sense the speaker through the speech. Got it? As Psalm 19 attests, the heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech. And night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Wow. In various ways through nature. So I've, for example, developed a little hobby of photography, and I love to take pictures of flowers. And here in Muscatine at the Weed Park, we have a glorious rose garden. Well, for the last 2 years, I've taken, I don't know how many pictures of roses, even got a special lens for my camera that I can get just inches away to take the picture of a rose. Oh, a rose by any other name is still a rose. I'm telling you, it is as if God is speaking to me through that rose, its beauty, its smell, but it's silent, so I can ignore it. All my many years of working so hard, I didn't stop to smell the roses. But they were there, the flowers, God speaking indirectly to us. Second, God speaks to us through natural events. This is called God's ordinary means of address. Here, it's usually less what happens than when it happens that makes it seem to us that God is speaking to us, that God is acting in our lives. So an example of divine signs would include when a much-needed rain or a desired but unexpected knock on the door or phone call. I'll never forget the expansive visage of twin rainbows in the skies over Des Moines back in the 80s after I'd gone through a very painful ordeal at a church that I had been serving. Ah, church wars are ugly. We were finally able to leave for Minnesota and a much-needed vacation at this lake, driving north just after a hard rain toward what turned out to be a priceless family time together in the North Woods. Two majestic rainbows appeared. It just seemed to us as if God were addressing us, saying, I'm in control. The storm is now past. All will be well. Be at peace. And that's just how it turned out. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver voice of a lark. I love that song. You'll never walk alone. Third, God speaks to us through supernatural events, what are called miracles. It's also called God's extraordinary means. Means of address, of concerns, events that are not readily explainable through natural laws. God can bring about a physical or spiritual healing, which attests to God's presence, power, and purpose in our lives. You know, everywhere that Jesus went, he performed miracles of healing, calling them signs of the arrival of the kingdom of heaven, wherein God is sovereignly present and active. He even told his disciples, including us, you and me, to continue to do as he did. Greater works than these will you do because I'll be with you, he says in John, to carry out the message of the good news of the continuing perpetual presence of God's kingdom of healing, love, truth, and justice. So if you read Luke 10, the first few verses, God, or Christ, sends out 70 disciples in pairs, telling them to go into cities and go to a home and say, peace be on this house. And if peace rests on whoever's there, stay there and say to them, the kingdom of God is at hand, and heal the sick. So in Luke 10 and Luke 9, proclaiming the presence of the kingdom of God and healing are interconnected. So this would be an example, healing miracles. I've been involved with the healing ministry of Jesus Christ since 1979. And the first time I prayed for someone where there was a miracle healing was 1982 at Iowa Methodist Hospital, where a wonderful guy named Raleigh, who was a member of my parish, had kidney stones. And it was at night, and he was in extraordinary pain. And I had just had a weekend adventure of healing at my church. A wonderful experience. Anyway, so he's in pain. I walk in and we have a conversation. He was a part of my men's Bible study. And I looked at him and said, Raleigh, do you believe in miracle of healings? He said, yeah, hell, I do. I said, why don't we pray for your healing? He said, okay, man. And so I put my hands on him. And for the first time in my life, all I can say, it was like electricity, but not hurtful, positive, went through me to him. I had never experienced this. And I started laughing because he had a great sense of humor. I knew he was healed. And I said, Raleigh, how do you feel? He said, hell, the pain's gone. My God, the pain is gone. He went home the next day. You know, all it takes is once, right, for you to say, hey, there's something to this. Wow. Fourth, God speaks to us through Scripture. Wow. Now, this is called God's special revelation. General revelation is God speaking through nature. Special revelation is what God teaches us through Scripture. It's the most significant, definitive, and reliable of all forms of God's speech to us. The Bible reveals as no other source who God is, who we are, what God wants of us, and where we are invited to go eternally, salvation. No other written document has such power and such clarity. Scripture provides us with a canon, meaning the yardstick, like a measurement by means of which to understand, evaluate, and interpret divine communication and the contents thereof, even now. In other words, no new revelation can contradict Scripture. Sorry, Charlie. We can add to it. So you can add things like, well, maybe I should never get in a car because, you know, there's nothing in the Bible about cars. Or maybe I should never fly because if God wanted us to fly, wouldn't he have given us wings? Yeah, there's nothing in the Bible that contradicts flying. Okay? Now, I want to talk just for a few minutes, and then I'll come back to this at another session and spend much more time with what is called praying the Scriptures, and how you can hear more clearly what God may be saying to you directly through the Word of God. So let's take a brief break. Okay, we're back. Now, praying the scriptures, you don't just read the scriptures, you can pray them, and it's very simple. Very, very simple to do such, and has been the chief prayer modality of monasticism, monks, men and women, for more than 1,500 years. There are four basic steps. Let me just mention them. The first is reading. So we get a short, like what I just read, I have many things to say to you, those verses 12 through 15. To pray it, you would just read those verses. That's number one. Number two, when something really strikes you, you'd stop reading and you'd begin to meditate, to ruminate, to think about what it is that's hitting you. So that first verse, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Well, you begin to think, well, what is it that God wants to say to me that I'm not ready to hear? Third, when you're ready, is prayer. So you would say to God, okay, God, you know, what is it you want me to hear that I'm not ready to hear? You'd put a prayer. And fourth is contemplation. That's when maybe God would speak to you. You'd have a sense that God is saying, you're not ready to hear how much closer to you I want to be. Oh, okay, I guess I'm still afraid of you, God. Okay. The best analogy that I know is going to a restaurant. You go to a restaurant to eat, right? So you got hunger. You have a desire for food. So you pray, read the scripture because you have a desire for God. And the first thing you do is you read the menu, right? Oh, okay. And then when something strikes you, ooh, I think I might like a cheeseburger with bacon. You begin to meditate. You begin to fantasize. Think about, okay, I like it medium rare. Yeah. And then the wait person comes by and you pray. You order the food. Okay, I would like, and could you blah, 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 and I want French fries rather than a salad, whatever. That's prayer. And fourth and finally, the piece de resistance is when you get the food. Then you eat. You ingest the presence of God or the presence of food. Okay. Isn't that clear? Never forget that. Okay. Five, God speaks to us or other persons. God uses other persons to bring home a message to us, even though these persons are usually unaware that God is addressing us through them. Ah, come on, the right word coming to us at the right time? That's so needed, and it can create an unmistakable sense that God is speaking to us, or for me at least, it brings a shiver up and down the back of my neck. We may want to say to this person, this personal messenger of the Lord, you cannot know what you just said to me. And for the speaker, often they will look and say, did I say that? You know, people have said that to me over the years. Oh, you really said thus and such to me. It meant a lot. And I would say, I did. I'm not going to say I never said it, because if it works for them, you know, sure, great, good. You just don't remember. Now and again, I've had a clear sense of a spiritual anointing or breath on what I was saying to another. Over the years, I've learned to trust this experience sufficiently to say, I think what I'm about to say is a word of the Lord for you. You know, I want nothing more than to be a messenger of God's holy and good words and will. I remember during a prayer weekend when there was a small group and we were praying for the healing of a woman who had been blind since birth, and she was a counselor at a high school in northwestern Iowa. And so here we are. She had brought a group of five or six of her women friends with her. She was just a wonderful gal. So we're praying for her physical healing, right? And then I get this word. I have given you sight. Use the sight I have given you. It goes through a certain place like a breadbasket in my middle, and I know it's of God. But I didn't want to say it, so I pushed it away. Couple of minutes later, same word. I have given you sight. Use the sight that I've given you. It happened a couple more times. And finally, I said, you know, I'm sorry to tell you this because I know we're praying for your healing, but I think I got a word of the Lord for you. And then I quoted that. I've given you sight. Use the sight I've given you, not knowing how they would react. Well, the whole group burst into laughter. Why? Because someone previously had said those very words to her. She had a marvelous gift of intuition. Wow. Okay, God speaks to us through inner witness, like what I just mentioned. Jesus called this the testimony of the Holy Spirit, meant to reveal God's truth to us, whether truth previously revealed or being revealed for the first time. The work of Christ's Spirit is to convict and convince, to teach and guide, to comfort and strengthen, to heal and sanctify, rendering us fit for eternal life. Now, among the ways that God speaks to us as an internal witness, God speaks to us through prayer. When you pray and give a time, there are at least what's been called the five portals of prayer. God, I've been with this for so many years, but people trust me on this. God will affect your thoughts. You'll find yourself thinking a new thing. Your feelings, you'll lose a feeling of depression, and God will give you a new feeling of hope. Will, God will affect your will. So you can pray, God, you know, if you want me to do that, give me the desire. Give me the will to do it. God will affect your imagination. This is big with me. You'll visualize. I could spend the whole rest of the time talking about examples of visualization God has given me in prayer. And memory, God will touch your memory so you remember when God was with you in the past. In addition to these, and for me most important, is the sixth. That's intuition, discernment. The breath of God can touch us with an immediacy beyond words. Through our intuition, we can come to know God as person. So, in 2009, in a prayer with Christ, the Lord, I asked the Lord, long story, but I got to be brief here, what is your mission, Lord? I sensed his presence so powerfully. Telepathically, okay? This is not words. And Christ said to me, not hearing in my outer, but my inner ear, I said, what is your purpose? The words were there so powerfully, I could never forget them. To bring humanity into union with God. Wow, and that work isn't over yet, my friends. God also addresses us in our dreams. For example, an unseen yet authoritative voice, a religious figure. So I remember when the Reverend Carl Stromberg, who was my counseling elder, in a dream came over to me and said, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you that your book is finished. I'd been writing a book for years and just kept playing with it and redoing and redoing. It's exactly what I needed to hear. It was my first little book, Journey of the Heart. Finally, God can speak to us with what the rabbis termed the bat call, the voiceless echo. We are addressed and you hear words unmistakably, but not with your outer, but your inner ears. I've been addressed by God's bat call in this way in some crucial moments in my spiritual life. The first time was on November 20th, 1967. God said, I had encountered the Holy Spirit and I was praying in the Spirit 3 days after, because I encountered God on November 17th, changing my life. So I was doing this praying in the Spirit. When the Lord's the first time, the words were just there. Move on, there's more. Don't stay here, Hal. I have more to teach you. Was that an understatement? Wow. So what is it that God wants to say to us? Maybe we should ask first, what is it that God does not want to say to us? God will not contradict Scripture or say something that will generate fear or anxiety in you. That's not what God does. That's what the enemy does. In the Bible, an angelic messenger will often say, fear not, prior to God's revelation, so as to calm and assure us. Nor will God's address generate mistrust or diminish your sense of self-worth before God. Rather, God always seeks to integrate and strengthen you, to bring you the truth that frees, heals, and saves. Now, there are six primary topics. I only have 5 or so minutes, so forgive me for just mentioning these. If you'd like to hear this show, I will be putting it on my website later this morning, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. Okay, God speaks to us regarding love, direction, knowledge, wisdom, warning, and our condition. Let me say it again, and then spend a few minutes with each. God speaks to us regarding love, direction, knowledge, wisdom, warning, and our condition, like get to a doctor. Above all, and in all of God's speech to us is God's love for us. The fruit of the Spirit, which really is the fruit of God's address of us, according to Paul, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Ephesians 5:22. Add to that faith and hope. As is said, our God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Second, God is ready, willing, and able to give you guidance about what you should do in this or that situation. We just need to be open to it, to learn to pray and wait patiently. So early in my religious life, I was wondering, God, how are you going to give me direction? I was in a prayer, fully awake, and then I had a flash of an image, and I started laughing because it was of God. Picture you're going on an interstate, and you're asking yourself, which exit should I take? Well, at this exit, there were like 8 or 10 different kinds of signs, all telling me to get off the interstate, exit here, and I left. God will tell you more than one way. Third, knowledge. God will grant us specific truths that we need to know, including the discernment of evil. You will sense. Trust your intuition. Fourth, wisdom. God bestows wisdom of what is right and what is wrong and how to prosper in God's way through life. God desires that we remain strong and steady in the paths of righteousness and goodness. Fifth, warning. God will reveal to us when we're headed in the wrong direction or when we are in danger, especially the danger of seriously wounding the well-being of our own soul, like becoming an addict of alcohol or drugs. God warns us in many ways, whether we listen or not. Sixth, our condition. God's Spirit will show us the current state of our souls and life if we will but open ourselves to God's Word and learn to listen fully in prayer. Now, how do we know a word is from God? My friends, it has these elements. It is clear and distinct, novel and unexpected. We do not forget it. Its impact does not diminish over time. It gathers us toward wholeness. It contains mercy and grace, even if there's judgment, because there's always forgiveness. It is what we need to hear, even if it is not what we want to hear. It strengthens and fires up our hearts. Let me go back to that. It's what we need to hear, even if it's not what we want to hear. Let me give you four words God gave me back in the late 1970s. Oh, long story. Four words I've cherished and shared with others. The Lord said to me, expect less, accept more. Four words, duh. How? Lower your expectations. Hey, expectations are killers, my friends. Relationships go awry, it is said, when we either don't get what we expect or what we get we didn't expect. Expect less, accept more. Wow. Well, God is seeking to speak to you today, words of forgiveness, healing of your past. God is speaking to have faith and love in your presence. And God is speaking hope and promise for your future. All of this. Do not fear God in any way. The perfect love of God will cast out fear. Be open. Fear not. Have a wonderful day and week. The blessings of God be upon you and us all. Goodbye.